podcast listeners. This is Chantel having a two-drink minimum at her kitchen table, and I am joined today by
Adam. And I like the fact that you just don't introduce me; you just make me introduce myself.
Would you rather I went? I was
don't care.
Today I'm being joined by Adam.
The first time I thought it was a little awkward. I'm like, oh, there's a pause. I introduced myself. Okay.
So I should introduce you?
I think you should introduce your guest, and then they say hello.
Okay. Hey, everyone. This is Chantel having a two-drink minimum at her kitchen table. And today I am joined by Adam.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, I get it. Sure. Today is Sunday, April 15th, 2018, and it is 5:12 in the p.m. I am having a glass of white wine. I'm having a Chardonnay, which is actually my least favorite white wine, but it's the only white wine I had. Clearly, it's a desperate situation in the house. Adam, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Natural Light on a lot of ice.
A lot of ice. Would you say that you have 95 to 98% more ice than you have beer?
I think the ratio of water versus beer is probably 80-20.
Sure, 80 being the ice. Okay, yeah, and not to mention that it's Natural Light, which is just basically water.
Not to mention, then why did you mention it?
Because I did. What do you want? So this is my second podcast of the day. Cheers. And it's been a pretty productive weekend in terms of podcasts. I'm kind of proud of myself. So I know I've said this the last two times, but I really don't know what we're going to talk about. Because I honestly don't know what you feel like talking about.
You're going to have to give me subjects because I don't know.
Well, the main one would be Syria.
I'm kind of done talking about it.
See, that's what I'm saying. So we have Syria. We have the propaganda machine behind Syria. And was it the Russians? Or was it the UK? We have the British UK spy story. We have Facebook going to Congress. Scooter Libby being pardoned, Comey's book,
Russiagate. The only thing I have to say about Comey's book is I would rather read the Bible than read his book. And I'll take it a step further because I would rather read like the original Bible, not like the one that's been translated into a way we can actually interpret it.
Sure.
Just give me gibberish.
And misinterpret it.
Yeah, I think there would actually be more value in that.
And just the scrolls that were left in a cave somewhere.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm not knocking the Bible, by the way.
Right. Are you sure?
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't include that. I actually had, did I tell you that I had a customer give me a couple of religious books?
Uh-huh. And said that you needed to get married and have kids.
Yeah.
Which, actually, we haven't talked about that, so
that could be an interesting conversation. Sure. Of how you deal with somebody that clearly you have, feels a connection with you, but then starts talking about religion.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I've definitely been there too. So I don't even know. All I know is the punchline is that you were given a Bible and told to get married and have kids. I don't know anything further.
Okay. So let me kind of set this up for you. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm a salesperson. I sell furniture. And I also sell homes. I'm a real estate agent. And since I've become a real estate agent, I've been holding open houses and I've had a little bit of success and it's really given me some confidence and I've become a lot more personable. I'm trying to have fun in my life and actually like have connections with people. In the past, I've been kind of a transactional sort of salesperson. Like I give you the information. I assume that you're a rational human being. So you're going to weigh the pros and cons and, you know, be thankful to me for being a wealth of information and letting you, you know, take your time and make your decision. Well, that's really not how the world works. People are completely irrational.
A lot of flaws in that thinking.
Right. So
first of all, just that they're rational human beings.
Right. So what I do now is I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun and I'm going to tell jokes and I'm going to ask people about themselves and find something that we both have an interest in and just let it go from there and just, I realize this sounds horrible, but like, you know, sell yourself, like people want to buy from a friend or whatever. I don't really like thinking of it that way, but.
Well, it's buying from someone that you trust.
Right.
And when it comes to transactions, we've talked about this, but when it comes to transaction, everyone just wants to feel like they got a good deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel that you got ripped off in terms of your commission. He's 100% commission in both professions, actually. And your customers want to feel like they got a good deal in terms of they got a bargain and they don't feel taken advantage of or ripped off.
Yeah. So because I've been more relationship oriented, this is how the whole this woman giving me religious books came about, because I learned about her family and that she had just recently buried her husband, and her husband was kind of abusive, but she made an oath and that she was going to stand by him and do the right thing for the kids. And it was for God to judge her husband and not her. And she was kind of a care.
My God, how old was she?
She's 70.
How long was she married?
58 years.
So
that doesn't make any sense. So I don't know how many years, but she was like 70 something, and maybe it was 38 years.
Well, if she was 70, figure she probably got married right out of high school.
Right.
So she could have been anywhere between 18 and 20.
But anyway, so basically what happened is this older woman came in with her daughter, and her daughter was buying a bedroom group for her son. And so this is her grandson. The, mm-hmm. the older woman, this is her grandson, and he is the apple of her eye, and is a baseball player. Everyone's a ball player in this family. So I asked about that, and she showed me pictures and stuff, and normally I would be like, oh my God, don't show me pictures. But I didn't mind at all. I was actually kind of enjoying it, you know, for the first time. Like, yeah, show me pictures of him and tell me a story about him. Whereas, like, a lot of salespeople would be like, oh, fuck.
It's not just salespeople, it's a lot
right,
of people.
Right, right. But I just don't, you know what? I've reached a point where I'm like, wants to open up to me and tell me this shit. That's fine. And so she, you know, she told me all about her family and stuff. And she was really impressed with me and called me up and told me how much she enjoyed our time together.
She
and,
called you afterwards?
Well, the next day, because she was going to come in and buy something else.
Oh, okay.
And she came in and she goes, I just want to tell you, I felt a real connection with you. I think you're a really nice young man. So then she like gave me these books. You talked for a really
long... The books known as the Bible?
No. These were just like, one is poetry and the other one is like, it's a daily thing. So there's 365 of them. So you can, each day you open it up and there's some story. Some like, I don't know.
Like biblical religious story?
Yeah, something like that. But it's like usually a page or two.
Sure.
So it's nothing too intense.
Sure. So what were the book of poems? Who are they by?
I don't remember.
Are they religious poems? So did you get a Bible and then...
No Bible.
Why did I think you got a Bible?
I don't know. She gave me two books.
I swear you told me she gave you a Bible.
No, she gave me a book of poetry and then this like daily affirmation book.
Oh, I swear you said she gave you a Bible and then told you to get married and have kids. So where did the married and have kids thing come up?
That's when she came in the next day and was asking about me and... asking if I was seeing anyone, and I was like, oh my God, if I was not seeing anyone, she was going to set me up with some good Christian girl.
Yep.
And you know what? I'll be honest.
She got excited.
If I were single, I'll tell you what, this is a little bit crazy. This woman's a little bit crazy, but I'd be like, show me a picture, baby. Whip out that phone. How religious is she? You know, but anyway. So that's kind of, okay, so I guess where I want to take the conversation is, so how do you, as a non-religious person, when you interact with somebody that's doing that? Because I like her as a person, and she's very devout, but everything she was saying was like, Jesus Christ is our Savior, right?
Right.
So it's very, very narrow and focused.
You have a blessed day.
Right.
And God told me to come in and buy furniture today.
Well, it's the whole thing about Jesus. So she was kind of argue like, well, it doesn't matter what denomination you are.
Just as long as you believe in something.
But I think she was like, but Jesus is the answer, right?
Oh.
So it's not like, so it wouldn't be like, oh, the Muslims are correct or the Jews. No, I'm willing to let you sort of have some flexibility, but as long as Jesus is the center of it, right?
Sure.
So there's a lot of, like, she would be like someone who's, you know, we should take care of the poor, we should do this and that, we should sacrifice, but at the end of the day, lot of it is Jesus, and it's like, no, I'm not going to, I believe that we're all in this together, that everyone is my brother and sister, And I don't try to judge other people because I realize that I learn whoever they are, that helps me define who I am. So I can look at someone behaving selfishly and go, well, I recognize that that's selfish. I shouldn't do that. But I can I recognize it, some of that in myself. And you get what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to be as judgmental as I used to be. So I'm growing as a person, I think. But and so we would have an agreeance on a lot of different topics now where maybe even a year ago I would have just been like, you know, more cold and calculated and thinking that the universe is just this expansive, non-intelligent thing. So I'm different now, but I'm not going to start saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what I mean?
I do. And I thank you for that. I wouldn't want to tolerate that. So you're asking how have I dealt with that in the.
Right. So like, let's say she took it a step further and invited me to her church, which people do.
Yeah.
And I would have basically had to say, I appreciate the offer. I think we have a lot in common, but organized religion is not where I'm at right now.
I just simply say thank you, but no thank you. And for me, the interaction completely depends on the relationship with the person. So I've been out on the patio and there's an older gentleman that comes around every spring and usually hands a pamphlet out for the Mormon church.
Uh-huh.
And I just say, thank you. And he's like, we're just welcoming. It's just an offering. And I just say, thank you. And I tell him to have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked at the college, there was always some older gentleman. It seems to be a theme. There's an older gentleman out by the doors, some of the front doors, and he would be handing out the Gideon Bible. And there were a couple years where I would take it and I would just say, thank you. They didn't want to hurt his feelings. And I guess I also don't see the harm in it other than I'm wasting resources because I'm just going to throw it away or do something with it. But then it just gets to a point where it's like, no, thank you, but have a nice day. And I mean, they're not going to start an argument with me or anything, but in terms of like going down a conversation of religion, it depends on how I know that person.
So the thing that I don't like about this type of personality is the fact that they're, everything that they talk about,
yeah,
Jesus is always just like everything. They can't talk about anything other than Jesus.
Right.
So it's like, we can't just talk about, I don't know. It's just everything comes back
right
to Jesus.
I agree.
And it's too much a part of the conversation.
I agree.
And the other thing I think, and this is what I felt, this is the perception I got, was that it's almost a burden for her, all of this stuff, because she feels an obligation to save people, right? So she's made at a certain point, it doesn't even become altruistic. It's like a duty that they have to go out and because they literally think that people are going to burn in hell.
Right. Well, in the Mormon church, you have to get so many converts, don't you? Or you are going to burn
right
in hell.
So that's where it becomes scary because it's like this recruiting thing where the stakes are so high because you think you're going to fucking burn in hell for eternity,
right,
which is completely insane.
Well, that's part of the moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem is because it's just another sign of the apocalypse coming in. And these people are desperate for the apocalypse to come.
About that.
But
I think that's just a political move.
Well, I do think it's a political move, but I'm saying in terms of people, not politicians. I'm talking about people, devout religious people. Yeah, I mean, there is that burden. And I know a lot of people throughout my life who wouldn't read certain things or watch certain things or listen to certain things because that's the devil. Like one person I know specifically, I made the mistake of asking if they were reading Harry Potter, and that was a mistake because I didn't realize that they were that religious and it was just devil.
Right.
And they weren't going to read a book about witchcraft and they weren't going to read a book about demons. And yeah. And I know I've been friends with people that thought that certain headlines were just a sign of demonic plagues and of signs of the apocalypse coming.
Yeah, don't you love those people that you'll see on television that will they'll take modern day events like an earthquake and then they'll start reading some scripture and be like, Yep, this is what's happening right here. It's like,
and they take revelations and it's like, no, it's the plague. It's like there was these famines and the earthquakes and the fires and the locusts and the crops are being ruined.
And what kind of arrogance do you have that you go through? Of course you can find coincidences because it's such a broad language in the Bible and related to modern day phenomenon. People have been doing that, I would assume, for centuries at this point.
Right. But at the same time, let's start back to where this conversation first started, where you want the untranslated Bible. We've translated it to a point where it's completely lost, I feel. I feel we've translated it.
I've tried to read it. It's unreadable.
Into modern language. And I really don't think people living in ancient times spoke in British English. I don't think they spoke in thys and thouts and shalts. Because that's medieval. I mean,
right. English. A couple of years ago.
And the King James Bible, it was translated by King James.
Uh-huh.
So
a couple of years ago, I became really interested in the different denominations, and I thought, you know what? I was really fascinated by Christianity, and I was like, maybe I should just read this Bible so that when people start talking about it, I'm an actual expert.
Right.
Because I've read this thing, and I can argue with you or agree with you, but put it in a certain sort of context. And so I tried reading the thing, and like I said before, it was unreadable. So then what I did was I was like, well, it's the internet age. Let's read the Cliff's Notes. And even when you do the Cliff's Notes, it's so dense with information as far as like, this happened. You're like, okay, this is just, it doesn't matter what's in there. People are just clearly have their own political opinions and they're just going into here.
Well, it's the political agenda and the Bible. So as someone that went to private school as an adolescent in church, on a regular basis. Oh, and when you ask, what do you do if somebody asks you to go to church? My response now is, you know what? I've given it enough tries throughout the different stages of my life, and I know for a fact it's just not for me.
That's actually a really good response.
And it's
because they can't accuse you of being closed.
Right. Like, no, I didn't just stop going when I was 12. No, I go all the time. And the CEO people, the people that only go at Christmas and Easter, and then if I'm forced to go at Christmas, you know what? You're just reinforcing that this is not where I want to be. But I get that it's comfort and joy for other people. But it's not where I need to go. However, I agree. I wish I remembered as much as I had been force-fed in my adolescence about it. And I don't remember very much of it. However, I do know enough that it's completely cherry-picked. And that you can read this chapter and verse and then go just a few down or a few over and it will contradict what it just said. Or we completely cherry pick these three verses, but then leave out these eight and then pick up again these, you know, six.
And right. I'm sure there's like really good lessons in there.
It's don't cheat, don't steal, don't murder.
Right. Universally accepted,
right?
Basically,
if you do any of these things, you'd probably end up in jail anyway.
Yeah.
So we've made those Ten Commandments basically our laws. So. I've also known people who they say hallelujah all the time.
I don't have a problem with that. That's a great word.
Well, I mean it is, but they mean it in a religious context.
Sure.
And I've worked for several people that were very religious. And they just knew that I wasn't. And we could talk on certain topics and have a discussion about it. And then there's just times where we knew to leave to leave it alone. Yeah. I think it depends on the situation and circumstance. But how would you classify yourself as what?
I am not any religion. I do believe that there are patterns that emerge in the universe and that we're just part of a process that's continually evolving. And there's some sort of order to it. There's some laws that we're following. And I don't know if that's a very good explanation, but I feel like the universe has some sort of maybe an intelligence or some sort of laws that it's going by that we're trying to pick apart. We only have bits and pieces of it. So I don't believe in like God in the in any organized religion, but I'm open to the idea that there is something really, there's some order to all of this. We just don't know what it is. We're just so small and haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
It's a really broad answer, but.
No, but I agree. Like, I think there's something much bigger than us out there. I have no idea what it is. I don't think it's religion.
I think there's different dimensions too.
Yeah, I think just in terms of our universe and it always expanding, and I don't think we're the most intelligent thing out there.
We're the most intelligent thing that we are able to perceive with our five senses and the instruments that we've developed, like telescopes and microscopes.
Right, but I think there's probably something more intelligent out there that has learned how to, that has more senses, or their senses are heightened, or they don't even have the same senses as us because that's not how their planet works.
Right.
So
everything, I mean, how different would our reality be if we had one more sense, you know?
Right. Or our brains were bigger or smaller, right. Or our eyes were bigger, or our skin wasn't what we think of as skin. It was something else.
Right. So like, let's just say you don't believe in God, but you have these thoughts. Like the universe is magical. Like there's so much we don't know that it's interesting. It's not like this, like, oh, well, I guess we're the only thing
right.
out there. It's like,
right.
well, no, look how vast this is. Mm-hmm. And we found this and we learned this. This isn't, it's continually getting more and more interesting.
I agree. Yeah. And
I don't find it, the fact that we aren't, that the Earth isn't the center of the universe, a bummer. You know
no,
what I mean? Like, I
no.
just, the more we learn,
yeah.
I'm just like, holy shit,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. And that, there's a whole side of our moon that we don't see. And it's just right there. And our sun, without sun, we wouldn't have life. And just the fact that we have water and land and all these diverse creatures. And that, you know, I love my nature programs. And when we watch a nature program, I always know when Adam isn't paying attention because he's not yelling at the TV. And as soon as he starts yelling at the TV in terms of like, oh my fucking God, what the fuck is that? That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's so fucking crazy. That's when I know he's paying attention.
Or when I'll say, really? You don't believe in evolution? That's a fish with feet. That is literally a fish that has feet.
Yeah.
Or is that a bear or a cat? I can't fucking tell.
Right, or the insects that look like a leaf, or
yeah.
that look like a stick.
Yeah, the ones
or
that,
the lizards that completely blend into
yeah,
the trees.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff is so cool.
And the fish, where we'll see a fish and you're just like, it's just a bug. It's just a fucking bug. It's just an ocean. Yeah. So, yeah, and there's large vasts of this planet that we haven't explored, let alone our universe and how it works. So, yeah, I flip between atheist and agnostic in terms of a label that I need to put on myself. And that just completely depends on where I'm at in terms of rabbit holes and what I'm going down. But right now I'm leaning agnostic.
Me too. Which an atheist would say is like, get off the fence, asshole. And I'm saying,
right.
Well, I was, don't be so fucking arrogant, atheist.
Right. Yeah. I think, and for me, how I think of agnostic is just, I think there's something bigger than us and I just don't know what it is. But for me personally, I know that isn't God.
Right.
I can't explain how the universe works. The fact that it's infinite, the fact that it just keeps growing and expanding. And that's crazy. And when I think of things like that, I understand how people go insane because it is such an insane concept that you can't wrap your head around. But I don't believe in a God.
Right.
Do I understand how we got here and how this all started? No.
Another thing that I find interesting as I've been getting older in my own like transformations is like right now, I always used to say like, well, I don't have any kids and I wasn't asked to be brought here. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like my parents had me, I had no choice in that. We don't have kids. So if I wanted to, I could be like cynical and shitty and just be like, you know what I mean? Like, no, I didn't have a choice, and I'm not into this problem or whatever. But then you get to a certain point where you go, you know what? I like being alive. I like who I am. And you know what? And once you do that, you're like, I accept this earth. I accept this universe. So I don't really know what it is, but I don't want it to go away.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's like a really important thing for people to achieve or realize, don't you? Like that once you are comfortable in it and you don't like everything, but if you're like, I mean, you could kill yourself.
Sure.
If you wanted to.
Sure.
But if you decide to not kill yourself, then that means that you have taken this thing on and you're going to make the best of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. So you mean we didn't choose to have kids. So just us together or us individually have decided to make the best of whatever this thing we want to term.
Right. So our parents, we didn't have a choice of being born.
Sure.
As far as we know. I mean, if you could talk to some mystical person, they'll right. be like,
no, you were implanted in your mother's womb specifically right. to be brought into this planet.
Right. No, you were
under these circumstances.
Like, I think Buddhists believe that when you die, you go to some like heaven or something. And then every once in a while you come back. Like that's the whole Jesus thing. Like Jesus is God. We're all gods. And when you're born, you're coming back into this earth to suffer. And when you're not on earth, you're in heaven and you're in, do you understand what I'm saying or no?
Yeah. I wanted you to keep going.
Okay. So where was I going?
That we chose not to have kids.
Okay. So yeah. So, these are not like, I've listened to ideas like this. These are not my own ideas. A lot of people have these mm-hmm, thoughts mm-hmm. and have vocalized them, but yeah, you could be a real, I used to say this when I was a teenager, stuff like, hey, I didn't ask to be here.
Sure.
My parents had me, and so I don't really have to accept any of your rules or any of your status quo because this isn't mine. I'm Alan Watts calls it, you're an alien. That's why you feel alienated because I don't like this world. I see suffering. Your laws are bullshit. Your rules and conventions don't make any sense. People are lying all the time. Fuck this shit. And so you feel alienated. And then when you become an adult, you choose to, if you reproduce, and I told my parents this, I go, I'm not going to have kids, so I don't take any responsibility for this earth. I didn't ask to be here, and I'm not propagating it. Mm-hmm. But then if you go a little bit further and you go, hey, you know what? I like being alive. I like these different experiences. Then you go, you know what? Maybe I didn't ask to be here, but I'm deciding to stay here. I enjoy it. I don't want it to go away. So to a certain thing, you're validating the world.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I mean, I just don't want to suffer. Like, and that's a large part of it, too. It's like suicide. Man, that's going to hurt. Like,
what if you do it wrong?
Right.
I mean, honestly, like,
I just want to say something real quick, and I think this is kind of profound, and maybe you disagree. I don't think people are afraid to die. I think people are afraid of hurting. Like, if someone was just like, hey, you're going to go to sleep tonight, and then you're done, you'd be like, I didn't know either way. It didn't hurt? Okay. It's just blackness. I'm okay with that. But the thing that scares me about death is, like, I don't know how I'm going to go.
Right.
Am I going to be decapitated? Am I going to have cancer at 57 or 87, and then someone just drugs me, and I just go into the night, and it doesn't hurt? That's the scary part, is you don't know how you're fucking going to go.
Right. And I would agree. I would agree. Is that it's the fear of how you're going to die that most people are scared of. But I know that there's also people that are scared of where you said, so you just go to sleep and then there's darkness. I know people that are scared of that. No, this is it. Like, there is no heaven. There is no hell. There is no in between. Like, nope, it's just
so
void.
What?
Just
fine.
Void.
Fine. That's what you were before you were born.
Right. But I don't remember that time. I don't remember that time. And I think
it's nothingness. There's nothing to.
Right. But to think about that, and I'm not saying I'm scared of this. I'm just saying to think about this because these are thoughts that I've had. Where your drink had something to say too.
Yeah.
Where So I led this life. My life was wonderful and fantastic and great because I was a billionaire and I got to explore and see everything. Or my life was drudgery and misery and horrible. And I've been in jail since I was 18 and I died there. And then you go to blackness. Like, what's the point?
Right. If there's, well, what the point is then?
What's the point between the billionaire that gets to explore everything and the person that rotted away in a jail cell?
I think the point is, at a certain point, you figure out that there is a very, very good chance that there could just be blackness. And you don't know when the hell that's going to be. So the fact that you keep going to this fucking job 40 to 50 hours a week, and it brings you no joy, and you could die in fucking 2 years. What if you knew you were going to die in 2 years? What the fuck do you think you would do? You think you'd be going to that fucking job? I'm not saying that people should not work or whatever, but I think that people should be more aware of stuff like that, that you don't know what your expiration date is, and just try to maximize what you can while you're here.
No, I completely agree. I agree. And that's why when... in terms of going to a job that you hate every day, and that's where I'll have conversations with you and other people where I'm like, no matter where you go, it's all the same. So you just have to find your happy. There's going to be managers that you think are stupid and aren't doing their job, and there's going to be other people that aren't pulling their weight that you think are stupid and you're doing all this work and et cetera, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be the same no matter where you go.
Yep.
There's going to be something that pisses you off. So you just have to find your happies. And that's just something that I say to other people where I'm like, you just have to find your happy. So that's why when my happies are being taken away at my job and my happies are so fucking insignificant and small, like YouTube is one of my happies and that's being taken away. Like, come on.
I don't really have to deal with that in the stuff that I do.
Right.
So,
in terms of, like, right, this is the system that we've somehow bought into and what we've found ourselves in. And so you just have to find your happy, and your happies are so, so small and insignificant. And then they find a way to fuck with those. And then you're just like, okay, I guess I need to find another happy that's even smaller and less insignificant. Because, yes, of course, I would love to stop going to my job. That is... I really want to say pointless and stupid and worthless, but.
Well, I think the only thing a job does for some people, it adds structure.
It adds structure, but right. We know people, everyone knows people where their job is their identity. Yeah, and I don't get that.
Well, I can tell you exactly why a person's job becomes their identity is because. You may have some kids at home, or you might be fighting with your wife and you have all these burdens.
Or husband.
Right? But if you go to work and let's say you have some sort of status, people are saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And so maybe all you're doing is making someone above you a lot of money. And in the long run.
You're making yourself
some money. But no, people don't even care about money. People care about power. People will take a pay.
Well, money, power, and influence.
Yeah, but people will take. A promotion or money just to be able to say, yeah, the title, right? To be able to be like, well, I control this. And, you know, it changes your perception of yourself versus other people. And so, yeah, there's all these just different pressures going on in your daily life. But if you can at least go to a place where you're respected or esteemed, or maybe you're not respected, but they have to listen to you, so you have a certain power, that's going to be very attractive to a lot of people because. Life is chaotic, and people have a lot of home responsibilities that they would rather just not deal with.
Sure, and that's what when I find out that someone, like, we get a new manager or whatever, and they're micromanaging, and they're just nitpicky about shit, one of the first questions I ask is, are they married, and do they have kids, and what's their home life like? And this goes for men and women. I'm not being sexist, and I'm being equally sexist in my statement, where... if it's a man who's really high-powered and micromanaging and domineering, then do they not have any power in their home life? And do they have a very domineering wife that's nagging and telling them what to do? And then vice versa. If it's a woman who is domineering and nitpicky and micromanaging, then does she have no power in her home life? So, yeah. again, everybody has bullshit. Everybody has things that they have to deal with. And I think sometimes if you just ask just a few probing questions, you can kind of figure out what the underlying bullshit might be that's fueling the bigger bullshit that's affecting you and pissing you off. So my understanding in terms of us currently being micromanaged by our new manager is he is the only one that works in his home, and he has a couple kids.
Sure.
So his wife is a stay-at-home mom, and she was fed up with him not being home. So he got this.
If I have three young kids at home that need diapers changed and this and that, you know what? Oh, sorry, honey. I have to work overtime. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't. I would never do that. But I can understand why some people be like, I'm working overtime because I'm going to make some money and I don't have to go home to that shit. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean. I don't have to change a diaper.
And then she gets more resentful and burdensome because either she thinks you're working overtime, like she's still believing that, or she knows you're not.
At the goddamn bar.
Yep.
And not coming home because you just want, because it's not like his life is free either.
Or you're salaried, and so you're just choosing to stay at work and you're just surfing the internet and bullshitting with people.
Totally.
Or driving around in your car. I mean,
I see it from both sides.
Yes, all of us know.
He's fucking tired. He just got yelled at today. He's working longer hours, has more responsibility. But now I'm supposed to go home and have more shit? No.
Right. And she's been at home dealing with kids that are ganging up on her and wearing her out. And men, too. Men stay home as well. And women are at the job also. And then she hasn't had any kind of adult conversation.
That's why we have this lifestyle, because we recognize that and know how we're going to react to it. And we're just like, I don't want to be that person.
I know. And where it's like, and when I meet young people that are thinking about having kids, and I'll just ever so lightly pepper ideas and stuff like, look at all this overtime that we just worked and how tired, let's think of how, like, look at how tired you are and you have no responsibility to go home to. Now imagine that you have to pick up your kid from daycare, but you also have to finagle daycare because you can't leave them there past a certain time or you have to pay more money. So how long have you worked? And cook dinner, fight with the kid, get bath time, bedtime, and go to bed. So
you're lucky you have 45 minutes of like a TV show you can watch, and then you better get your ass to bed or you'll be tired tomorrow.
I know. Well, and maybe the kid is sick or the kid is teething, or
hopefully the kid's sick so you get a fucking day off. I don't know.
Right. Anyway. But now you're using your vacation time as sick time for your kid.
Whatever.
So And think about how we're at night where I'm home, you don't get home, and we have maybe 9:45 to 10:15, 10:30 to spend together, and we're just like, no, hurry up, I only have such a small amount of fucking time.
Yeah, we have this thing where I come home from work, and she'll want to talk, and she'll be lollygagging, picking out a TV show, and I'll be like, I only have like an hour and a half of free time, so let's pick out this fucking show. Like, I don't know. Let's stop lollygagging. Pick out a show. Let's watch it.
I know.
And then she'll pause it, or someone will pause to go to the bathroom or something. And it's like, no, come on.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And let's point out the fact that we're like, no, we need to have fun. Pick out a goddamn fucking TV show. We have to have fun. We need to get our fun and our conversation in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that. So with that, I think we got it covered. How do you feel?
I think it was a good episode.
Okay. So with that, I will take one last cheers. I was drinking this whole time.
Your mom believes you.
Hi, Mom. My mom said I rambled, and I took offense to that, and I went back to listen to that episode. And I will say, Mom, I disagree. I don't think I rambled in that episode. So, but she did take exception with how many times I say cheers, because she can hear the ice clinking. So I have cut back on that. Thanks, Mom. Anyway, I will say, as always, thank you for listening. Remember to share the love, not the hate. Thank you. Love you. Bye.